Do you love Oculus Quest Cast and want to know how you can support the show? Please visit anchor.fm/OculusQuestCast/support to learn how you can become a supporter today. Thank you. Ready to do an episode, though. I wasn't all that sleepy, probably had way too much Diet Dr. Pepper today, which is totally fine. Here I am. I am back for episode 7, because there's a bit to talk about. The first thing I'd like to do, though, is just come right out and give Shay an apology. Shay, you sent me an email, and I think I referenced you as a female. But you are definitely a male. I saw you in some of the Facebook groups, and I was like, "Oh well, bonkers! I made a mistake there." So I'll definitely own up to it. So sorry about that, Shay. Keep rocking it, bro. If you have anything else to say, please send me an email. I will, however, go over a few more emails that I have received from you guys, and there's a few. Shiloh writes to me again, and he's titled this email, VR Time. And he said, "Hello, JNS, again. First off, I haven't missed an episode of the podcast. Great. So I did the FrankenQuest mod of my Quest with the HTC Vive Deluxe audio strap. Best mod I have done with it. It's so comfortable and you hardly notice the weight. And then I got the Mammoth touch controller grips. Again, awesome. Games." Just says games. "For sure, get Beat Saber." Oh, he's telling me about games, yeah. "For sure, get Beat Saber. Flippin' great game. Even if it doesn't have that song you want, get it. I also played the Vader Immortal. Good game. Short, but the experience was pretty fun. For the price, worth it. Hope they come out with more episodes. It left it hanging at the end with the story. I also have Swords of Gargantua. Not too bad. Gets old after a while, though. It just needs to go somewhere. But I could see a whole sword game doing really well. It's fun and accurate swordplay. I think Darth Vader game with the lightsaber did a bit better. Or maybe seeing sabers and wielding one from Star Wars biased my opinion from my childhood nostalgia. LOL. I have lots of other games, too, but this email is getting long. So great job, and thanks again for your time in putting this podcast together for us VR lovers, Shiloh." Thank you again, Shiloh, for sending me an email. I got another email from Enrico, who is actually the first person to join my Discord. So thank you for that, Rico. And if you have Discord, if you want to get on there and chat with the few of us that are in there, there's a handful of us in there now. Just go to Discord and look up Oculus Quest Cast. You'll see my mug there under JNS. And yeah, let's get our group going. Let's get some active discussions so I can talk about the things that you guys present. I do scour the internet, but, you know, many hands make light work. Okay, Enrico says, he's entitled his email, Beat Saber Custom Songs. He says, "Hey there, it's me, Knox, the one guy from your Discord." At the time, he was the only one. And it's quickly growing. That's great. "After listening to episode 6, I heard that you wanted TTFAF, which is Through the Fire and the Flames, on Beat Saber. Well, you can do that through sideloading. Using SideQuest, an app used to make sideloading applications and games easier, you can import custom songs to your Beat Saber game on the Quest. It's good to know. There are a lot of songs available already since people started doing this in PC VR, so you will find your favorite songs on here. Here's a link on a tutorial that I found on YouTube on how to install custom songs. I will include that link in the show notes, so look for it there if you would like to check out his recommendation on this tutorial. And again, thanks for that, Knox." And then he finishes up by saying, "I love your podcast so much, and I have been waiting constantly for a new episode. I can't wait for more. Cheers. That really touches my heart. Thank you so much for that, Knox. So yeah, we're definitely getting somewhere, folks. That's awesome. And you know, Shiloh brings up a good point, and I've seen this in quite a few of the Facebook groups I've been following. I'm not really a Facebook person anymore, but because I have this podcast, I know that there needs to be a pretty strong social media presence. So you can find Oculus Quest Cast as a group or as a professional profile or something like that on Facebook. If you can find it, follow me. That'd be great. But yeah, let's talk about Franken questing for just a second. I've noticed that there are people out there that feel like the head straps for the Oculus Quest are pretty basic, pretty uncomfortable. Personally, I haven't had that issue yet. Maybe it's because I haven't played more than 2 hours in the deep dive of virtual reality. But if you're somebody who likes to put in, you know, a marathon of gaming on your virtual reality headset, I could see how that could become uncomfortable. I know the only time it was uncomfortable for me is when I put the straps on too tight, but I really am about some of these Franken-questing, or these Franken-quests I've seen where they include an attachment for the battery backups, and then they have a shorter USB-C cord that goes from the battery backup to the Oculus Quest so it can charge while playing, and it's all included into the headset. I do like that, and I do hope if somebody major doesn't come out with something like that, then somebody minor can really get on the ball and start pushing a feasible feature for that. But yeah, a lot of people out there are using the HTC Vive head straps with the headphones attached and the little Curly Q aux cable that plugs into the side of the Quest. I just slapped my laptop there. That was funny. And yeah, I speak with my hands, so you can't really see it. I will say this. I am getting ready to set up my Twitch channel, and I will be broadcasting live on Twitch when I do these podcasts, so you can sit there and watch me. I wouldn't say I'm a little camera shy. I would just say that, you know, they say the camera adds 10 pounds to other people. It adds about 50 to me. maybe that's just me being, you know, overly self. That, you know, that word, that conscious, self-conscious. What is wrong with my brain right now? Oh, man. But anyways, yeah, I'll be broadcasting on Twitch Live, so you can see that I talk with my hands. Like, I am inflecting these words with purpose into my microphone right now. but yeah, I don't know if I'm going to reach a point where I want to Franken-quest my Quest, but if something comes out that's kind of official that I can add on there, I think I'll go ahead and do that. Even though I am a super handy guy, I don't know why I wouldn't just do it. I would need to try on every headset out there, because I'm the type of person that if I am going to do that, it needs to be the most comfortable one. And I've heard that there have been issues with the HTC Vive of the headphones breaking off, and that's not anything I want to do. Basically, I don't like to set myself up for failure. I know. I'm as you get to know me, my personality, I've got some quirks like we all do. But anyways, let me know on Twitter at Oculus Questcast, on Instagram at Official Questcast. Apparently, my wife sent me with a Snapchat today, and that is also Oculus Questcast. You can follow me on Snapchat, and that's a good way to see a lot of things that I'll be doing. It'll mainly be her doing it from her phone, catching me in candid moments, which I'm not a huge fan of, but it's my wife, so I can't really say anything one way or another. Also, you can email me at oculusquestcast@gmail.com. Let me know. Send me your pictures. Hit me up on Discord, too. Please join the Discord. I can't stress that enough. I want to include your guys' ideas. I want this to be a community where we can all share our ideas. I can discuss them on here, and then we can go in there and break it down, share, you know, our hopes, our dreams, our passions, our failures, and where we can come together as a community. And yeah, you get the idea. Let's talk about a few games for a moment. All right, so I saw a YouTube trailer for a game coming out for the Oculus Quest called Accounting Plus, and I could only describe what I was seeing as, what the heck am I looking at right now? If you haven't seen this trailer yet, Accounting Plus seems to be, not seems to be, it is made by the same guys who make Rick and Morty. They've made the Rick and Morty VR experience, whatever that's called. And some little white dude, ghost-looking guy pops out of a tree and starts cussing you out. And here's me. I'm like, this has nothing to do with accounting. And I'm like, okay, well, I kind of get the point. I'm looking at this. I've watched the entire first season of Rick and Morty, and nothing has ever filled me with so much existential dread as that show. I'm watching Morty kind of bury an alternate version of himself in his backyard and just has this look on his face like I would probably have if I did the same thing. And I will think about that. This was literally like 2 years ago, and I still think about that moment to the point where I'm like, man, I'm going to create a paradox in my mind because this is so deep. And then it turns to like, you know, just really crude humor. So the extremes in that show is not really something I find enjoyable. So it's going to be a hard pass for me. If you like it, though, to each his own. And I'm sure it's great. And I know there's people out there that are just all about Rick and Morty. It's not my thing, man. It ain't my bag, baby. This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby. Props to you if you know where that's from. Okay, not to be confused with Rick from Rick and Morty, there is a game called Richie's Plank. I have seen a lot of people not too happy with this title. In fact, in a lot of these Facebook groups that are Oculus Quest focused or just VR focused, people are saying they're requesting their money back because it's not a full-fledged game. It doesn't seem like a complete experience to them. And the game suggests that you go out and you buy an actual plank of wood and walk on it, and it'll give you that immersive experience. And of course, it has the other experiences like flying around like you're Iron Man and stopping rockets and explosions and whatnot, but it doesn't really fit in with walking on a piece of wood on a high rise and then jumping down and falling. And I've read reports that the falling is just abrupt. It doesn't have any realistic climax to it. So a lot of people seem to not be very happy about that game. It doesn't seem like it was too expensive to start. I didn't really check on the price. I think if it's more than $10, it's probably a huge ripoff. But people don't seem too particularly happy about that title. Now, this title, though, yesterday I talked about how it looks like what I was watching maybe wasn't as fleshed out or as polished as it should have been, but there are a lot of people reporting that Sirento VR, the, you know, the hyper-fast ninja game, it seems to be getting a lot of traction, and it's only $14.99. That's amazing. It released today at 11 a.m. my time. That's Mountain Standard. But yeah, it's hyper fast. People are saying they're not really feeling any motion sickness from it. So I've reached out to the developer. Haven't really heard anything back. But eventually, because it's $15, I'm going to have to buy it and check it out. But another game, this game looks really good too. And I reached out to this developer as well, because it's Funkatronic. And, you know, in an earlier episode, I talked about how I applied for them. I applied for this company called Funkatron, a lot different than Funktronics. So I was mistaken in that one. To me, it's obvious that it was easy to assume that it would have been in the same company, but thinking about it now, maybe not. But anyways, Fuji. They launched Fuji, and that's like a calm garden life supporting growth in these different biomes, and it's all music and lights, and it's calming, and people are saying it's a really amazing experience. So that is another one I cannot wait to try. So, and those seem to be, aside from another one called Anne Frank's House, where it is a virtual reconstruction of the house where Anne Frank grew up and gives you details about what happened in the house, where Anne Frank would write in her diary and all those things. A great history lesson, not really a game, it's more of an app, but it's good to experience history from the viewpoint of the people that lived it. So I think having educational options with the Quest is a really, really amazing idea. So that seems to be another one that came out, and a lot of people seem to really be liking that one too, because it's very informative. And it's pretty immersive. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, because one of the topics of discussion we've had previously, and I'll use this as an example, is if you guys will remember when Pavlov, when the developer Dave Evils of Pavlov came out and said that his game was not approved for the Oculus Quest store. And there was a huge uproar about that. And then a day or two later, he was like, oh, psych, it is approved. So the game's going to come to the Oculus Quest store this year. So it got me thinking, what exactly are the Oculus Quest store guidelines? And if you do enough digging, especially in the developer section, you are going to find some answers. And I just want to quickly go through it, and we will do that right after a word from the sponsor. Okay, so now that we're back, let's jump right in. I want to quickly read you the guidelines that Oculus has determined each application or game. They say application, so it's widespread. Whether you have an app or a game, it's going to cover pretty much everything. And basically, they say, it says, it's important to note, all Oculus Quest developers must pass the concept review prior to gaining publishing access to the Quest store and additional resources. Submit a concept document for review as early in your Quest application development cycle as possible. For additional information and context, please see submitting your app to the Oculus Quest Store, and that's a link you can click on. So, they break it down for you even further. We're going to read through it and just kind of quickly go over what they're trying to say here. So, it says, your Quest VR app must meet or exceed these guidelines to be considered for distribution on the Oculus Quest Store. Now, this is information I think we're all kind of wondering about. Like, how does Facebook decide what games get through and what games don't? And I read through this entire thing, and I feel like a lot of these are like, well, yeah, duh. So it makes me wonder, man, how there must be companies out there that are really just trying to throw something together and do a cash grab. And, man, that would be that would be basically, they're trying to keep the user in mind, or, you know, the customer, you and I, who are paying for games. They're trying to keep our best interest in mind, and they don't want us paying for crap. And I appreciate that. So here's the Quest test plan is the next section. It says the Quest test plan, that's a tongue twister right there. The Quest test plan is the exact criteria we use to test your app during the technical review phase of the app submission process. It explains each requirement in detail, including steps to test and what the expected result is. Quest VRC, and VRC means virtual reality check. Quest virtual reality check descriptions are provided to help you get started on Quest development, but downloadable test plans are not available at this time. So they have test plans that they want developers to follow. They're not downloadable at this time, but you can access the VRC descriptions right here in the developer section. And I am at developer.oculus.com. So the next section is right here. It says Quest VRC descriptions. VRCs are dividing, or I don't know who wrote this, but it's not grammatically correct 100%. So I am going to take some liberties here to make it sound like I'm not the one who's grammatically incorrect here. So, VRCs are divided into categories of evaluation, such as assets that accompany your app, its performance, function, and how it handles input. Following is the current list of VRCs. Here we go. So, the first VRC is VRC Quest Packaging 1, and it goes all the way to 5. So, it goes VRC.Quest.Packaging.1, and it does that subsequently all the way to 5. The first one is the application manifest must conform with manifest requirements. You must sign your app with APK Signature Scheme V2. Now, I feel like this is why sideloading's become so popular, because we know the format, it's APK, and that's how it's saved, and looks like it's signed with a signature scheme of V2. Cool. Number three, your app must not require Android features not supported on Quest. So apparently there are some features in Android that are not really supported in the Oculus Quest. What those are, I don't know. Number four, you must use a supported SDK and engine version. And on another page, the SDK it's talking about is there is a Quest SDK, but it is integratable with Unity and Unreal. Those are the engines. So number five is APK file size must be less than 1 gigabyte. Aha! So it's telling me what the limitations of size of the games can be are right here. It says APK file size must be less than 1 gigabyte, but OBB files must be less than 4 gigabytes. So I'm guessing that all in all, your game has to be less than 4 gigabytes, which when you think about how big of storage you have on your Oculus Quest, whether you got a 64 or 128, that's a good consideration to have. They don't want anybody to feel like one particular game is going to take up half of their storage. So I could see why a requirement like that is in place. Okay, next, the VRC is Quest.audio.1. It says apps should support 3D audio spatialization, although it is not required. Fair enough. So they should, but it's not required. I guess this is an optional requirement. The next is VRC.quest.performance.1, and that goes up to 3. There's 3 different VRCs for performance, 1, 2, and 3. The first one says the app displays graphics in the headset at 72 frames per second. That's awesome. No wonder it flows like butter, to me at least. Number 2, the app must run for 45 minutes with typical usage without entering thermal throttling power save mode. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting a clearer picture as to why some people may feel like the rules for posting to the Oculus Quest Store are stringent. But to me, this would have to be a non-negotiable. I completely understand it. The next performance section, number 3, it says the app must either display head-tracked graphics in the headset within 4 seconds of launch or provide a loading indicator in VR. Okay. VRC.quest.functional.1. There are 11 of those. The first one, app must install and run without crashes, freezes, or extended unresponsive states. Now, I've seen in these groups where people have installed an app and it's caused their Quest to crash. And they've had to delete everything and then reinstall everything. So I would urge you guys, if this has happened to you, send a report to the support team at Oculus, because, you know, maybe it's one of those things where they're going to require these developers to come out with an update so these crashes will stop. And that just helps everybody, frankly. 2. Functional 2. Single-player apps must pause when the user removes the HMD or opens Oculus Dash. Functional 3. The app must not leave the user stuck at any point in the experience. Thank you. I mean, some of these, I'm just like, yeah. These feel like common sense, but they need to be said so Oculus can cover all of their bases. Number 4. The app must not lose the user's data. I'm sure that we've all had experience with that in the past, in some way or another. Number 5, the application must respond to the HMD's positional tracking as well as orientation. Non-negotiable. App must only include Quest HMDs and controllers within the title or store assets. That's number 6. Of course, again, non-negotiable. That makes perfect sense. Number 7, if your app requires internet connectivity for its core functionality, notify users without an internet connection that one is required. Yeah, a lot of these seem to be geared to making sure the user experience is at an exceptional level at all times. And I, for one, appreciate that. Number 8, the app must continue to download content if the user removes the headset. I'm going to stop just for a second. If for some reason you guys don't want me to go in painstaking detail about things like this in the future, just hit me up wherever you can. Email oculusquestcast@gmail.com. I know I've said this already, but Twitter @OculusQuestCast, Instagram, @OfficialQuestCast. But I'm doing it mainly so I don't miss anything, and just to see if there's anything that stands out or anything that seems kind of, you know, a little weird. But so far, it seems pretty straightforward. It seems like it's there to give us all a great experience, but I will continue to go. I was on number 8. Yeah, the app must continue to download content if the user removes the headset. Yeah, it's just like my phone. If I download an app, it's going to download even if I turn that phone off. Number 9. In experiences using a local tracking space, the user must be able to reset their forward orientation. Makes sense. I mean, makes sense why that's an option in most of the games that I have played so far. Number 10. Headlocked menus and UI elements are generally uncomfortable for the user and should be avoided. I agree. If I can't look around and have a menu follow me, if I have to look at a certain place and it's locked, and yeah, I agree. It would be uncomfortable. Number 11. Users must not get disconnected from a multiplayer match if they press the Oculus button or remove their HMD. Yeah, essentially, like, anytime I shut down or back out of my Xbox or Switch, it kicks me out. So I appreciate that. Okay, this one has to do with security. This VRC, and there's two of them. And the first one says the app should perform an Oculus platform entitlement check within 10 seconds of launch. The second one says the app must request the minimum number of permissions required to function. Agreed. This one has to do with tracking. There's only one. When configuring the submission metadata for your app, it must meet the requirements for either sitting, standing, or room scale play modes. That's fair. That's fair enough, because not everybody's going to be able to stand and move around. I like that one. I don't have anything against that one. The next one has to do with input, and there are three. So it says vrc.quest.input.1. In-game menus should be activated with the menu button on the gamepad controller or the menu button on the left Oculus Touch controller. Number 2, when picking up objects within the app, use the touch controller's grip button rather than the trigger button. Aha! So the grip button is always going to be the go-to for picking up items. Good to know. Number 3, in-application hands or controllers should line up with the user's real-world counterparts in position and orientation as closely as possible. 100% agree. Okay, vrc.quest.asset.1, and there are 8, and this is the last section. And we're pretty much already almost through this. Asset number 1, it says logo must be on a transparent background. This just has to do with, you know, making sure that that's straightforward. I don't have to explain it. I have a really bad habit of over-explaining things. Drives my wife crazy, drives my kids crazy, drives me a little crazy. But, you know, makes it to where I always have that attention for detail. So, makes it for a good discussion here. Okay, so logo must be on a transparent background. That's asset number 1. Asset number 2. Store cover art images must have a clear logo without extraneous text. I can say that word. I know that word. Extraneous. Ha ha! There it is. Text, taglines, or banners. Number 3. Store cover art must not include text in the top or bottom 20% of the image. This is a little nitpicky, but I'm pretty sure they just don't want anything to get cut off if there's any resizing adjustments that need to happen, which, understandable. Number 4, hero art must include the branding of the app centered in the image. Number 5, screenshots must be representative of the app and don't contain any additional logos, text, or iconography. Iconography. Yeah, iconography. There we go. That's the best I'm going to do. 12:15 at night. Oh, man. Number 6. App description, screenshots, and videos must not include HMDs, controllers, or logos from other VR platforms. Yep, you keep it Oculus-focused. Number 7, trailer must not be longer than 2 minutes. And number 8, artwork asset text should not use a font smaller than 24pt. Boom. So, those are the virtual reality check guidelines for submitting your app to the Oculus Quest Store. Yeah, that was me canoodling the cord of the microphone, and it was hitting against this springy arm I've got. Anyways, there was another section on here. All right, so when you go to the Oculus Quest Development Guide, it says right here, Oculus Quest is a standalone 6 degrees of freedom HMD with positionally tracked Oculus Touch controllers. This guide contains the information you'll need to develop for the Oculus Quest. And one of the reasons I wanted to put this out there is because I'm sure I said something to some effect, but I went to video game school. I still have a very invested interest in making video games. I went to video game school and worked in film for about 10 years. Then I worked in app development and and app and software support. But now I'm to the point where I'm slowly putting together a development team so I can start making games for the Oculus Quest. So this is informational stuff that's beneficial to me. And possibly beneficial to anybody out there listening who wants to get into game development or who already is. If you are, let me know, because I would love to know what you're working on. I'd love to support you in what you're doing, even if it's for a platform, if it's for like the Switch, or especially if it's for the Switch. You tell me what it is and I will go out and buy it, because I love supporting people that are out there living their dream. But yeah, a lot of this is informational to me, so I can be on the right path eventually. It says that they use development channels of Unity, Unreal, and Native. I guess they have a Native, and I think I mentioned this earlier, but they have a native software development kit. I would love to request one of those. I think I will after this is done. Then they give you, so I read the store requirements, they give you optimization and performance tools, and they tell you what they are. To distribute your Quest app in the Oculus Store, your app must meet performance requirements. As a result, you should understand what affects your app's performance and how to evaluate it. Awesome. So, for a discussion on mobile latency on Oculus devices and how the CPU and GPU synchronize to render frames, see gameplay latency for Oculus Quest, Oculus Go, and Gear VR. Okay, so in addition, see the following topics for analysis tools and examples. Looks like they give you just a very brief list here. It says tools for performance analysis. They use Logcat for basic performance stats, SysTrace profiler tool, Snapdragon profiler tool, and OVR metrics tool. And then for performance analysis examples, you have the MSAA performance analysis. It shows the effect of MSAA on render and resolve costs, and then draw call analysis, which shows the effect of changing materials, shaders, meshes, and more on CPU and GPU draw call time. Yeah, all technical stuff that will show you where your resources are going when your game is running and to make sure it's not overdrawing anywhere. So, yeah, that's all great stuff. Now, I am reaching 40 minutes I really wanted the opportunity to spend about 10 minutes or so really getting into Journey of the Gods and why that game is really good and why it gives me hope of one day having a virtual reality Legend of Zelda experience. I will do that on episode 8. Also, before we end here, I've noticed that this podcast is actually gaining a lot of traction, and I'm really grateful for that. I'm really grateful for you guys and for you listening and tuning in. As a result of that, I want to do a contest. And I want the prize to be an Oculus Quest. And I am going to get that together because they're a little hard to come by right now. But while I figure out the procurement of said quest, I am going to also figure out the details of that contest and how you could possibly win one. Or maybe you know somebody that can't really afford it and they would like one. Let's get them one. Let's get them into this contest. So stay tuned. I will be giving more information on that as soon as I know I can have one in my hands to give to somebody. So that's some pretty exciting news. If you need a second one, if you need a bigger one. So happy questing out there. You get out there, questers, and tell me what's worth playing, what's worth my time, and what's worth your time. And thank you again. I will see you next time on Oculus Quest Cast.